Welcome to Real Flix Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This week is Grab Bag, so I picked the movie X the Unknown. James also picked Room
104.
Season 1, Episode 1. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Hello. And Ryan Prest. So here's a description of X the Unknown, made in 1956. A radioactive, mud-like creature terrorizes a Scottish village. And I actually really like this movie. It's one of my favorite unknown sci-fi movies. Because I don't know anybody who knows this. The one that always made me laugh is nobody here has like a Scottish accent.
Yeah, they
Not really. It's the most British Scottish accent.
Well, yeah. I mean, what were you really expecting?
I want like Lucky Charms. I mean, come on.
Oh, instead of Cheerios?
Yeah, pretty much. One of the reasons I always love these movies, because this was, you know, what, a decade maybe from the atomic bomb, is how creative they were and what radioactivity does. And this is another one of those, you know, you have a nuke, and now it can feed, and it's basically a mud version of the blob.
That's actually exactly what I was thinking when they finally showed it.
I'll give this a 3.5 out of 5. This is always a movie that, you know, if I'm bored, I'll put on just because it makes me chuckle.
Wait, what?
Well, little history, actually, with this sort of type of movie. You have no idea how excited I was because I knew nothing about it. I just turned it on and started watching it. One of those flicks you can find on YouTube, you know. But now I was excited when I saw it was Hammer Films.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Hammer Films. I had no idea. I just turned it on.
You kind of.
I don't
that.
Know how you expect me to know that.
True,
John.
I knew that,
but I figured. But so Hammer Films. For anybody who's not familiar, you might have recognized the name by the coined term sort of Hammer horror pictures. You know, it was sort of like a subgenre of B movies that were made, and they basically started in like the, you know, mid to late 50s. Christopher Lee's been in a ton of their shit. Mostly they were doing kind of like runoff of Universal monsters like Dracula and Frankenstein and shit. Matter of fact, Christopher Lee's Dracula is still badass.
See, I liked...
But,
one of the reasons I liked this, some of their later movies are a little too B. This is, to me, right at the cusp, so they're like right at the edge of being
that. Well, this was a very strange Hammer horror movie. You know, because it leans sort of away from the horror portion and more towards kind of the sci-fi. And it's not like they had never done sci-fi. It's just that this one was, you know, like you said, kind of that Cold War era. Everything was about nuclear bombs and, you know, like what that radiation was capable of and things.
This goes
which
rather...
I thought incredibly coincidentally that the blob was shaped like the elephant's foot from Chernobyl. That was kind of cool.
Actually, that's a good point. I never thought of that. Yeah. This is kind of the style, very, at least for America, the 50s movies are really like this, you know, sci-fi horror, you know, the blob, you had
the 50s movies didn't have fucking legitimate actors, you know, playing the lead roles in these things.
They had, I'd say yes and no. Some of them,
actors.
Well, some of them had ones that later became, high-rated actors. But yeah, no, very few of them actually had, like, major actors for the time.
Well, you get, because the British filmmaking style, or not style, but era and the way that they were able to do things was not the American budgets. You know, so when people were doing B-movies in the States, it was because they had low budgets, they couldn't afford anybody. A B-movie in England wasn't necessarily precluding... you know, big actors or legitimate actors. I mean, half the time they would spend most of their budget on something like that.
I think part of it,
but
too...
I'll tell you what, hold on for, I want to beat the shit out of two people with a fucking shillelagh about this movie. And it's the only thing that's keeping me from a 3.5.
Okay.
But, the editor and the director of photography need to just be choked out.
I'll bite. Why?
Really? The soundtrack We mean really.
Really? You have to explain that to him?
Well, I'm curious. Well, hey, we do a show, and he should explain it.
Thank you, James, for backing me up.
Trying to get him to talk, have a little interactive show here.
He wasn't shutting up for like 5 minutes.
Like, let me just say that I thought on about 40 separate occasions I was having vertigo attacks. And the soundtrack should never drown out the dialogue.
So the funniest thing about this movie is if you bought it online, I actually own a copy. Originally, when I was looking for a copy, I was finding them between $60 and $80. And I ended up finding it at a local DVD shop. But there's no chance in hell I'm paying $80 for this movie when my copy of the Cowboy Bebop soundtrack's only worth $40.
All right. Ryan, what is your rating that you've got going on right now?
Three. It was actually a surprisingly fun movie. You know, it was 1957, yes. Was it?
Six.
1956, and the jargon they were using was the same kind of BS jargon that you'd hear in a movie today, so it actually landed a little bit heavier back in the day when all this nuclear stuff was all speculatory, at least to the public.
So I've seen a lot of the 50s sci-fi horror movies, and most of them don't hold up. Some of them are fun, you know, Tarantula, Mole People, stuff like this. This is one of the few that still have a feel of a modern movie, and like Ryan said, it's the terminology, the stuff they throw around. This movie still has some gravitas that way.
All right.
Uh-oh.
So,
well, yeah, that tension.
Yeah.
They charge it, and you just sort of move along, you know?
So I got to agree with Ryan right off the bat. Like, the first thing I wrote as far as notes go in this thing is, what the fuck is wrong with the cameraman? Literally what I wrote.
It's Britain. You don't have a whole lot of large.
It was so bad that I swear to God I was getting motion sickness 10 minutes into this film.
It's funny, as the guy who's really motion sensitive here, I was actually more interested in the story, so I actually didn't notice the camera making you nauseous. But that does explain the feeling being on the boat
in the middle of it. It's the kind of thing you'd see in you know, like Tarantino's Grindhouse, sort of making fun of that weird artifact of those B movies.
No,
you know?
Even Tarantino has some control. Like, he doesn't let that shit go on for more than like 5 seconds. We're talking the entire film.
Right. This seems like a run-on joke, like using like the little vertigo move where the background is moving independent of the actors. Like, at first I thought it was just this weird copy.
I thought it was a backdrop for a little bit. Had. They got a fan behind that backdrop? What the hell?
Honestly.
But, yeah, I mean, I really started considering myself like on acid or shrooms. I was watching the walls breathe, man.
Yeah, literally.
I bet the funny thing is, and I bet the technique they used back in the day, it was considered, you know, the hip thing to do.
I think they just rubbed magical mushrooms on the lens.
Yeah,
got the camera.
The other thing, I mean, this is the most positive thing I can say about this film, is, I mean, I gotta give that scientist guy credit.
Are those your notes?
Yeah, for building a radioactive lab in his little shanty out of an erector set. I mean, that's talent, dude.
I thought the same thing, man. Like, that's OG erector set. For real.
Is it bad when I saw that? I'm like, that's no fair. I want those.
And the other thing that, like, really got on my nerves and it had to go along with just the thought process of this film is when they were cranking that guy down that open fissure in the ground, like, they didn't put together the mechanics of the crank because the wheels were not moving at all. There was just one that was moving, and he was magically going down.
For a movie made in 1950, that was surprisingly that part didn't bother me. There's a lot more other things in this movie.
The other thing I thought was interesting is, you know, like 25 years after this film was made, Raiders of the Lost Ark used the same face-melting thing that they did in this film. I mean, I'm just wondering if that's where you got the idea from. I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, I would go lower than a one if I could.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this, and probably maybe 25-30% of it is the fact that the freaking camera would not stop moving.
This
and
is true.
It really wouldn't.
The entire film.
It's one of the few movies I've ever seen that even in like when nobody's moving, the camera's still circling around him.
Well, it was circling around him. It was like literally like the guy was like going one way very shaky and then going the other way very shaky. And
so the only thing
how the hell did they get the background to warp like that?
So the only thing I could think of in a couple of things is, and I wasn't paying close attention, some of the scenes could have been rear projection.
No, the only scene that was rear projection type thing was the one when they were in that lab, not his, but the one at the main building with the backdrop that was painted.
I kind of took some of that to just the fact that probably the places they shot it in probably didn't have enough room for the size of the camera they're using, because I doubt they're using the hand cameras. So they probably just had to try to, you know, move around a little bit for the next part of the scene. It's the only reason I could, excuse it.
I don't know. But, I mean, that's my most main issue with this one. I mean, as far as the storyline goes, I mean, the radioactive blob was some type of intelligence was an interesting thing, but the smartest thing out of the entire film was when the guy's like, how can something this mass get through? And he goes, through the grate. He can't fit through a grate. That's a lot of mass. Well, have you ever put oil through a sieve, the screen? It'll go right through. That was about the only intelligent thing out of the entire film.
I would briefly like to point out that the plot of this movie is 80% the plot of the newest Godzilla movie.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
the
sure
the monsters chasing radioactive material.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
I'm pretty sure all modern movies kind of copy the basic plot line of this. Because they're all
this isn't new as far as the plot line. It actually follows, just a very similar formula, but even actually kind of a similar comedy formula where it's like, I hope those guys didn't take my advice about sending those guys to that place.
Oh, yeah.
Well, wait, they did. Cut to the two guys sitting there bullshitting,
That was actually it's my favorite part of the entire film.
And it was kind of those little moments of levity that I don't expect from something in the 1950s that only sort of B movies like this are getting away with,
One of my favorite scenes.
Like people's face melting, by the way.
By the way, back in the 50s, that must have been incredibly trippy.
It's not something that you see. I mean, people rated these movies X, and shit like that.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes is actually the beginning when the creature kind of makes its appearance and that dumb dude's just looking at that stick move. It's like,
Yeah.
So I still give the movie a 3 out of 5, James. Gonna go with your 0.5.
My left thumb. I've cut off.
So that's a 0.5. So Ryan's still going to give it your 3?
Not going there. Smarter.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely wouldn't. The only people I'd recommend this to are people who like B movies. And
I like B
movies.
I think, honestly, I think for 50 sci-fi horror, you have to be a certain type of movie buff. Yeah, I really do think so. It's a very small subset of people who enjoy
it. I realized right away, this is a B movie. Oh, it's Hammer horror. So this is definitely a B movie, but with that weird sort of British production value. I kind of at the end of it, I was like, hey, good on you, boys. You actually kind of made a halfway decent sci-fi movie.
So we're switching off to the TV show. So James, batter up.
Yeah, I tried getting you to watch this one, but it ended up being me.
I'm sorry. My life is really busy at the moment. My humble apologies.
Yeah,
I just don't care.
Totally didn't do my homework on it. What was that one we were talking about, that movie? The one where the guy's locked up in the room? Ryan?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
You talking to me?
Who was the actor in that? I forget. Was it
one was locked up in the room?
Yeah, Lloyd at the Bridges. Hotel.
Which one?
Anyways, let's move on since we're not getting anywhere with that. So this one, it's an HBO film. This episode really wasn't...
Are you talking about the Cusack flick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to look it up.
Shit. Yeah, John Cusack horror movie. I'll come up with it in a minute.
Anyways, it seems like what they're going to kind of be doing with this one is they're going to keep, like, in the room and just have weird-ass shit happening. And that's kind of what the whole thing was. This was about a lady who got ended up babysitting this kid. What?
It was 1408.
Oh, 1408. Thank you. So kind of seems like it's like this room is going to be like a corrupt room that just messes with everyone's brains. So they're going to be independent episodes. It seems like the only thing that they're going to keep in there is the room 104.
Like,
I think it's going to be kind of interesting.
Like, not exactly, but kind of like how four rooms, every like thing is kind of a different.
Yeah, but it all ties in type thing.
That's cool.
So I think that's what they're going to do. This is an HBO film, or not film, show. And only like 20 minutes long, so it's kind of short for them, but I think it'll be interesting.
I dig the fact that doing shorter run stuff, besides the fact it's probably cheaper for them to do it and they can show it basically commercial style than between movies are running.
What I like about even just the concept, I'm probably going to, you know, try to watch maybe one or two tonight. Is there more than a couple out currently? Or?
Oh, yeah. There's like, this has been out for a few weeks, so.
Oh, cool. Okay.
At least four episodes, probably.
I like that kind of just like, well, it was the reason we all loved Hitchcock.
Yeah.
You know, or Twilight Zone.
Out oh, sorry, there's two seasons
like
out.
These quick little stories.
Oh, no, that's 2018.
There's so many thousands of these little stories out there that only take 20 minutes to tell. Quick little concept, not too many moving parts, and just, you know, retell them with different production value or a different spin on the monkey's paw. I mean, or something like that. You know?
Yeah. Well, there's 11 episodes out right now. So.
The funniest thing you say about like short stories or something becoming something like that. That's what Shawshank Redemption was. It's just a little short piece of story that was written. It's a full length movie. So it'll be interesting to see if any of this has any a genesis to any larger movie.
Well, they've already projected a second season for it, so it's going to be kind of interesting, I think.
If it's all this one room and it's all, I mean, there's people are kind of playing with the format, you know, and people's knowledge of how these things go, to make these kind of different stories where it all sort of maybe kind of ties in or there's a larger thing, but it's about these individual experiences, you know.
Yeah,
I'm kind of wondering.
Now I'm just fucking rambling.
I'm kind of wondering if like somehow these fit together in a longer format, because I think it'd be cool if somehow, you know, like some of the episodes actually flow together. You know, it's like 2 and 4 and 6.
I'm hoping that's what they're gonna do. I mean,
because I think it'd be cool if somebody somehow assembled it into
an anthology type thing.
Yeah, or somehow they fit a 2-hour movie into 20-minute intervals. I think it'd be kind of neat if they were a little too creative. I mean, I think that'd be cool. But ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/realflixreviews. You can also listen to us on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and more. And some of the more interesting things I've heard lately, Blade Runner 2049, a movie that I actually really want to see, apparently hasn't done too well at the box office. Last thing I read was 31.5 million. I'm not surprised if this does really bad. In all honesty, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they're kind of aiming for a pretty niche market, right? I mean,
oh yeah, because I don't know too many people who actually love Blade Runner. I mean, besides the fact, you know, the movie, the original ones from the 80s, I know very few people at this point that like it enough to see a sequel. I really want to see this. I mean, what do you think, Ryan?
I mean, I'm definitely interested in seeing it. I don't know if, I don't know, man. I'd dig me some Harrison Ford, and it's going to be a big movie. It's going to be a spectacle. You know, the reason this is getting such a big release is because they threw a ton of money in it. The great things about Blade Runner, I think, are going to be improved. And some of the kitschy 80s shit is going to be removed, so it's probably going to be a better movie, you know?
See, I don't know. That's the one thing I'm wondering. Like, because the problem with making newer movies like this is it going? Do they remove all the good stuff about it? Because movie makers' tendency to have to make it want it better and instead of similar, if that makes sense. Like, feel the same, but look better. Now they just want to make it better and better, and it ends up being Transformers.
Well, I wasn't the biggest fan of Blade Runner. I liked it enough, but I'm not really precious about it like I know a lot of people are.
Oh no,
I'm sure you know they're yelling at me right now.
You know, I mean,
Adam Savage would MythBusters would hate you. That's just
He'd probably kick my ass thinking that that one.
I wouldn't go
not,
that
not
far. He's a keyboard cowboy. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but.
Okay, now he's going
to come on.
Ass.
He had like 10 minutes of boxing training for an episode of MythBusters.
And lots of firearm training.
This is true. Yeah, probably a pretty decent marksman.
So what were you saying?
I was just going to say, you know, I'm not a big Blade Runner fan, but, you know, I would actually give it a shot, you know, just to see what they did with it. But that's about it. Like, I really am not expecting anything.
I kind of want to see it in theaters, but this is one of the few movies that I legitimately want to see it on my TV at home because that's how I've seen Blade Runner my whole life. So I'm kind of looking forward to sitting at home in my home theater system with a, you know, box of popcorn and viewing it how I viewed the other one. That to me is going to be to see how well it is. Because when you're in a theater, most movies are spectacular. Most.
I mean, wow, not necessarily. I don't really get sold on the experience part. You know?
It's part of it for me. The Last Jedi teaser trailer has been released.
Let me just say that there's not a screen big enough for me to have liked Pacific fucking Rim.
It took me a couple of times watching it at home to start liking it. So I'm assuming you guys haven't seen the new Last Jedi trailer.
No, I haven't, and I'm trying to avoid it at all costs.
Have you heard anybody not say anything good or bad about it? I mean, like, I liked it or hated it, because I haven't had a chance to see it.
Nope.
I'm deciding I might pull a Ryan and just try to avoid it just to see what I think of it, because
I mean, you know, and mostly I do it out of principle. Like, I don't want people to think they can just sway my opinion. Like, I'll like it or I won't. Like, I'm not, you know, going to sit here and hold it to the highest standard like I'm expecting the most. You know, my imagination won't get away from me.
That's
but,
what happened to me.
You know,
because I was so hyped for it because I love Star Wars, at least the original. And it just, I kind of shot myself in the foot. I hyped it up so much and I watched it. And at the end of it, I'm like, well, that movie. Well, can I have my money back? So this is something to be very excited about. At least I think it's interesting. It becomes the first horror movie film to pass $300 million.
Jesus.
And this damn good reason why.
Yeah.
That movie was good.
This could be the revival of horror movies. And I know everybody's saying, oh, horror movies are still around. Not really. If you pay attention to 80s, horror movies were kind of in the culture and not so much as they used to be nowadays.
You know, I think that...
Well, yeah.
The thing that really annoyed me about the popularity of this movie were all the people that were flipping out by what wasn't in the film rather than giving them credit for what was.
Like what? I haven't heard...
Stupid gay scene. There's supposed to be a stupid gay scene in the book. What would that have added to the film?
Yeah, it's a non-issue as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that was the question.
Have it or don't have it, I don't really care.
Yeah, I didn't care either way.
The weird thing was I had heard some reactions about people like I'm not gonna watch this movie because they do bad things to kids. And I'm like, well, that's part of the appeal.
Have you been a Somalia? It's,
you know. Well, yeah. Real life is not friendly, but no, this is a fictional story. You know, people who have an opinion about it, like yes, this is bad things to kids. Like, yes, we all agree with you.
So
you know, but that's why it makes it so creepy.
My only question, and it's always been my question, I haven't had anybody actually answer me, is what is the importance of the gay scene? Like, for example, there may be an important plot point in the book. Like, this happens and this person gets together.
I wasn't going to read the book.
Well, that's what I'm curious about. What is the
importance?
Nobody
said.
I think it's just like a, because look, it's partly sort of like a coming of age story, but a coming of age story where all these kids at the same time experience some really awful things.
Okay. So
well,
depending
okay.
how the movie's done.
So I think it's just part of that. I mean, Stephen King was pretty, you know, So, he'd go off on some tangents.
So depending on the movie, that may not only not be relevant, it would actually ruin the flow of the movie. So I could see why that's not necessarily important. You know, whether you agree or not, it's about the storytelling.
It's about the dynamics between the kids.
Exactly.
You know, and their relationship together. So, like I said, have it or don't have it, it's a non-issue.
Well, one of my things that I would bring up to these people is the fact of another great film, fantastic film, A Beautiful Mind. People were pissed off that they didn't show that John Nash was bisexual. That would have added anything to the film.
I think depending on how they did it, it would have added a little bit of a character.
They could have, but...
But yeah, that movie was so jam-packed. It would have to be a throwaway scene or a line, I think, in order not to slow down the movie.
That's the thing is it would have to be a throwaway thing or it'd have to be half the movie.
Yeah.
You know, he already had enough quirks to fill up the movie. Like you said, it was kind of jam-packed with this guy's story and his life and his... I mean, it was about his family and his struggle, more or less.
Yeah.
But, you know, a little, you know, sort of sexual quirk, we'll call it, not to disparage, you know, bisexual people at all, but...
I don't care.
Yeah, it didn't need to be added.
Yeah.
So, since you've seen it...
I have too.
So. Ryan said he saw it.
I saw it too.
I'm curious... Would the homosexual scene even remotely add anything to it? You know, like just like how you said it was a coming of age scene. Would it have added anything to the characters? Because I haven't seen it yet.
I don't know. I never read the book. I don't recall it being in the first movie. It's been years since I've seen it.
I don't recall it being in there either.
I mean, since like in the new movie, would there be a spot in the movie like say a character was underdeveloped?
I don't know what the actual dynamic was in the book, if I would have preferred it or not, you know, but it was fine. I thought it was a great movie. So yeah. I don't think that, you know, like, unless it was just like, oh, you missed the better thing. I don't give a shit. I didn't read the book, you know?
See, this is what I'm curious at is, for example, the one thing I could really tell you about, and it's an extremely old book, was The Count of Monte Cristo. There's actually a couple of characters, actually there's quite a few characters that are important to the book that are not important to the movie because of the way the movie is told. One is Catharus? Sinbad the Sailor. There's a bunch of characters that just aren't important to the movie. And that's the one thing you can do in movies is the fact that when you're directing a movie, it's no longer like Alexandre Dumas's story. It's his story, but the director's vision. It's the same way with Lord of the Rings. Why Lord of the Rings is really different in certain aspects than the novels.
A lot different.
That's the one thing I think people need to be a little bit more forgiving. And yes, I'm saying this. I'm one of the most pedantic people on this show. You got to give things a little bit more leeway sometimes.
Yeah, I agree.
But I mean, and the change of medium changes so much. Like I'm so fucking fine with the changes they did with Lord of the Rings from novel to movie.
There's certain aspects
because it's streamlined. Well, it streamlines the narrative for one. You know, Tolkien. I mean, talk about somebody who can get wordy. that guy would describe the blades of grass.
Hell, he created a language just so it could be more wordier.
Exactly. But, I mean, so there's so much richness to draw from. You really do have to kind of narrow the audience's vision a little bit. You know, you can't have so many different little tangents going on at the same time. Otherwise, you're really lost or you're making a 14-hour movie.
The other one I would say, and I think James and Ryan would agree with me, was Dune. If you read the book, the internal monologue is really cool. That actually helps add richness to the movie. I mean, to novel. I like it in the movie. But I'm also a really big fan of the novel. But you take a look at James and Ryan, they really hated the internal monologue. To them, it didn't add anything.
Yeah.
That's another thing. There's just a lot of aspects
of
it. Yeah,
that's another thing. That's another thing about the change of medium. If you're just going to, you know, the actors are able to sort of emote with their face as well as saying words. You know, so unless you're adding... you know, like something that's really deep in there, there's no point in just sort of narrating what's going on.
Yeah, agreed.
So it'll be, I'm really interested to see what the sequel does. on this one. I mean, I want to see it. It's one of those, it's my list of movies I want to see keeps growing and growing and growing. It's like, man, I need more time. See, there was one more.
Hey, your time of watching five movies a day is long, long gone, sir.
Oh, no, it's dead. Here's one that I'm not, I actually, let's put it on the who gives a shit pile. Avatar sequels will be the most expensive movies made of all time. And I didn't like the first one. I didn't care.
Wasn't it the most expensive film made when it came out?
Probably.
I think it was, yeah, at the time, yeah.
So I'll be 100% honest on this. I don't know if I know anybody who likes this movie. I know a few who
actually, John, yeah. Let me stop you. I need you to be like 80% honest on this one.
Okay, I know a few people who like it. That's about as 80%. I don't know anybody who likes this movie. Everybody
well,
I know who
I
talks.
Didn't, I didn't hate it. I didn't, you know, think it was the greatest thing in the world. I thought the story was just kind of thin, and it was more about the spectacle. But the spectacle was something else, man.
When people describe this as the giant Smurf movie,
it's very accurate.
Well, or the giant Fern Gully, really. Was
oh, yeah, that's another one. There was nothing about that movie that was memorable to me, and I think that sucks because...
Well, there was a lot about the movie that was memorable. I just don't remember dick about what it was about, really. I mean, other than it was a little kind of Save the Rainforest-y.
I think that was it. It reminded me a lot of Captain Planet, but without all the fun parts.
yeah.
So, and another bit that made me laugh pretty good, Flatliners scores a rare zero critic score. So the movie we wondered why they made again got the exact response we were thinking it would get was, what the fuck?
Wait, the remake has already come out?
Yeah. Apparently. Flatliner scores a rare 0% critical score from darkhorizons.com.
Wow.
I
don't even have to give it one. It's already been done.
And another one kind of shotgunning news. There's going to be a Peter Rabbit movie. The first trailer has been released.
That seems like a good one to take the kid to.
I mean, yeah, but are we beyond that kind of story now? Like, have you fucking seen Zootopia?
Yeah, I have to admit.
You know, Peter Rabbit is no Toy Story.
Yeah, I agree.
And the news
we're kicking ass in fucking the kids department lately, you know.
And then the
back in the day, all we had was fucking Peter Rabbit,
and the news, Dragon, Old Yeller, Where the Red Fern Grows.
Right, yeah.
And the news that she'd leave every husband and boyfriend going, yes, Sex in the City 3 is not happening.
You know, I've never seen any of that.
I haven't watched an
episode. I haven't watched any of the movies.
I've known...
Like, Ryan?
Nope.
Yeah.
I've known quite a number of women who've really loved the show, but I've never seen an episode.
I know some women that love the L Word, too, and I don't watch that.
I definitely think it's one of those TV shows that go straight along the gender line. Because I don't even know any gay guys that love the movies, that TV show, so...
I haven't ever thought
that.
Well,
you know, I'm from Los Angeles, so I definitely know people who like the show. I think my sister watched it for a while.
That doesn't
or something.
Surprise me.
So any other news before we close this?
Are we just going to not talk about Harvey Weinstein?
I wasn't going to mention him.
Oh, yeah, apparently there's some
shenanigans.
Some foul play going on there.
So you talk
shenanigans.
About, so
little extracurricular shenanigans.
So I'm not surprised. Well,
Angelina Jolie.
I don't know enough about him to be surprised or not.
So from what I've heard over the years, one of the Corys talked about this with the sex ring for children. I've heard off and on the joke about the casting couch. What's her name from the first Transformer movie? Megan Fox basically said that about the Transformers director. Yeah. I'm not really surprised. I mean, if you take a look at it, when one director could make somebody's career. And no offense to Megan Fox, she can't act her way out of a wet paper bag without taking off her shirt.
And I still don't find her that attractive. I don't see what the big thing is about
I'm
her.
Not surprised. I am surprised in the modern world where media is everywhere that this didn't come out sooner, like to this level.
I mean, they were more having too much fun with Anthony Weiner, showing his wiener.
I mean, he literally got removed from his company. They basically said go. Like the board removed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, you know, good. Good.
He's got a
you
really.
Know, I mean, look, I like a lot of the movies that his company has produced. You know,
me too.
They put out some great shit and the stuff that would otherwise have not gotten a shot. But yeah. you don't do this shit.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, otherwise you go to jail. I mean, we're fucking trying to prosecute like a 99-year-old Bill Cosby because fuck him.
Yeah, I mean,
he gave Matt Damon his first shot, if I remember correctly. So,
anyways,
no,
he was Good Will Hunting, right? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, yeah, like Ryan was saying, it's just they've done a lot of shit and great stuff, but I don't understand somebody thinking I'm so powerful that I am an ugly, fat, old man that I can just get any woman I want. And obviously, some women are saying that. They didn't do anything with him.
So
I think Angelina Jolie is one of them.
The most interesting thing that's come out about this is Kathy Lee Gifford has talked about a producer that basically, you know, played with himself in front of her. And this is apparently not new. I love the fact that this is starting to come out. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, just because you're rich and famous don't mean you get to get away with shit.
I've never understood this. I mean, you could look like Fabio back in the day and still, like, you know, you have no reason to bring out your crank and expect somebody to do something because you can make him famous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad he's fucked.
Yeah.
And I'm happy about that.
Yeah. No, and I'm glad too. You know, no matter who it was, I'm glad you get screwed over on something like this.
Yeah. The way I look at it is, Ryan said, they have done a lot of good films. That they put out, but that doesn't give you any reason to get away with shit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not going to stop me from watching Good Will Hunting or buying a new copy if I break my current one, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's go to jail.
Yeah. So I did hear something interesting this morning, and this will be the last of it for the show, is Russell Crowe and Matt Damon apparently 10-something years ago went to the New York Times and told them, hey, you know, would you, you know, kind of not talk about this? So apparently there were celebrities who helped kind of stop the story of this coming out. So I'm really interesting to see if it'll affect them at all.
Yeah.
If this turns out there's some big top names that said, hey, you know, would you... We'll give you some money if you don't talk about him.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm curious to see how far this will go. I think the buck is going to stop there. But if there's a big-time celebrity that was basically okaying him, you know, raping a girl or, you know, sexually harassing him, I think their career should stop.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway,
so next week's pick is James's. So do you know what your movie and TV show
we're just
going
to get rid of that little rabbit hole and go down the rabbit hole of Malice in Wonderland. 2009.
Oh, jeez.
And
what?
Malice in Wonderland, 2009.
Oh, nice.
And we'll do The Young Pope.
The Young
Pope. HBO special, season one, episode one. Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.